but I do know someone. And when I call his name, you will no longer be lame. Peter took the man by his right hand, called on Jesus and gave this command. Rise up and walk. You've been blessed by the Savior this day. The what? Bible goes on to say, people were amazed that day. We did not cure this man by ourselves, but it was Christ that you put to death. This man called Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. If you would only talk to the Lord, you might even make the lame walk. Then one day you can surely say, rise up and walk. You've been blessed by the
CITR 101.9 FM, UBC Radio, CITR.ca. I'm David Love Jones. This is African Rhythms. It's Friday. It's Thursday evening. We've got my special guest. Mike is going to be coming up in a moment, but Jason Hoover, legendary local soul singer, has taken the trouble to come back on the air. Welcome, Jason.
It's great to be back, David, and you know I love doing your show. Let the people know that I just can't wait to come back and sit here in this chair with a microphone, a big, huge microphone in my face, and I get to express how I feel and what I feel.
Yeah, well, we started with gospel, Andrew Wartz, and the Gospel Storytellers. What did you think of that?
I thought it was really excellent.
Funky.
It had a rhythm and a beat, and it had never left the gospel. You know what I mean? It was great. It was really unique.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play a little bit more gospel now, and then we'll come right back.
Hey, man, praise the Lord. We got to move. You know right about it. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The scab fell from his eye. Oh, Lord, yeah. I recognized his voice when he spoke. Yeah, Lord, yeah. The scab fell from his eye. Oh, Lord, yeah. Wonderful Jesus. And not only that, praise God, but he filled him with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Lord, yeah. I heard the Lord tell him, oh, Lord, yeah. What things you shall suffer.
there's something pure about the gospel funk, Jason. Like, it's, you can't get any more pure than that.
I can't think of anything else more pure than the gospel funk.
That's Elder William Smith, you know, an obscure name. But you know what? We're going to drop one more kind of unknown gospel.
All right. And who may that be? Here he is.
Reverend Harvey Gates.
There you go. Here's Mike.
Mike will be right here to join us. Mike Ingram.
From day to day, yeah, we can't find peace, we lost our hope, we can't find a friend when you're really in need. It's so hard to live in this world, yeah, yeah, it's hard, yeah,
a compilation from a gentleman, Greg Belson, Reverend Harvey Gates, and not only do we have legendary local singer Jason Hoover, Michael Ingram is back from Philadelphia to join us. Welcome, Mike.
Good evening, everybody. What's up, Vancouver?
We managed to put it all together tonight.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've been rocking a little bit of gospel and just thinking about the fact, I mean, soul music or gospel music, when it reaches people, or the fact that it reaches people, it's in a deep soul kind of a way. I mean, you can't really fake that with other kinds of music. I mean, you know, and that's why it's so naked with gospel, because there's no holding back.
Exactly. You know? Nobody leaves soul music to sing opera. You know, it's like you either have it there or you don't. And that last track you played, I noticed that the label, Loaca Bop, its address, 250 West 57th.
Is David in the
old,
Byrne.
Yeah. It's in the old Capitol Records building. I mean, right. Not Capitol, London Records. Forget
right.
me, where Bloodstone and other artists came from. That was one of the few indies that was on the East Coast that actually had a little bit of shelf life.
Well, I think that's, I mean, this is from a Greg Belson, a DJ from L.A. He plays a lot over in Europe and England, but he's specialized in the gospel spiritual and dance and things like this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a little bit of a revival going on now. So, you know, they're digging deeper and finding these kind of moments, you know, of genius.
Well, you know, it's like blues. You ain't going to hear it on a radio station.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a specific format for it unless it's like some NPR kind of thing that'll give you a couple of hours. So, you know, they starve just like all the other musics that don't get airplay.
Well, I mean, I think in a sense, when a What's Going On Marvin Gaye or something like that comes along, there's hints of that raw gospel in that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, just look how open and honest in gospel they'll talk about the environment or social issues, like in a second, mm-hmm. you know, because then, you know, there's no restrictions. You're mm-hmm. not on radio.
But gospel was always, I want to say, handcuffed by the fact that you couldn't be yourself. Apparently, everything you had to do had to come from God, not trying to be facetious or anything like that. Then you realize whatever gift you had came from God. So whether you were secular with your approach or gospel with your approach was the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Jason, I mean, you must feel that yourself, that, you know, some of your soulfulness, it's not so different than the church.
Well, I was brought up in a church, so what can I say? Although, being a Baptist, it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then being a Catholic or a Protestant church. So we got to sing all the time, and they put us little kids in, when I was about, you know, 7, 8, 9, they throw us in a basement, and we'd be singing the songs that they were going to sing later on.
I remember when I was living in the UK, and this gentleman is a good friend of mine, and he'd let us stay at his house and whatever. Mm-hmm. And but he was really Christian, so he was trying to get in his little, influence or whatever.
Yep.
So, and he knew I liked black music, so he brought me to a black church. Okay. And so I went to like an all black church, mm-hmm. and so they were singing and whatever, and I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. And then at the end, they give little mini exorcists, you know, they're like, I think he's got the demons. Yeah. So they'll give you an instant one right there. They put the hand on your skull.
That might have been a Pentecostal church.
It sounds Pentecostal,
they do that. I mean, and they do it for real. So it's like you never know what's going to happen.
Mike, are you Baptist too?
I was baptized.
I was baptized,
but, you know.
You didn't go to no Catholic school.
I had friends who did, but the bottom line and all of that was you could see the effects of how people treated each other.
Oh, man.
Because our church was one of those, well, you know, everybody's welcome, but if somebody came in and they had jeans on, you had the ladies in the back talking about them. Like, you know, that's the kind of hypocrisy that sometimes straddled, you know, organized religion.
Well, one thing I found, like in England, you know, you go to the church and then there was an all black church. But I remember mm-hmm. Norman Jay saying, a DJ from there, mm-hmm. when he went to New York, because mm-hmm. he just wrote a book, he was saying, wow, there was actually black communities of people together. And there's a block party, all black people. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't used to that. Like the blacks were not uniting so well in London, England, mm-hmm. as they were in New York. Like mm-hmm. that was one from all the struggle or whatever. Yes. How did they got a middle class black neighborhood? The whole block is all black people.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, mm-hmm. yeah, like I said, New York was different because neighborhood straddled. They didn't straddle as much where you saw drastic differences outside of Manhattan, but then everybody confuses Manhattan with the city proper.
Right.
And in Manhattan, Harlem was the largest neighborhood in the city. You know,
some of that was middle class.
All of that was middle class. Yeah. You know, anything along Columbia University, that was all middle class. And you had white people there because there were people who were working there in the school.
Yeah.
So that's when I made the joke about how, you know, people looking at brochures about, oh, should I send my child to Columbia? It's in beautiful Morningside Heights. They're sending your kid to Harlem. You're paying $800 a credit. That's what's going on.
And then, I mean, but you get back to that period, Jason. Here you were coming from the epics. And then from 69 on, it was the Trials and, you know, the psychedelic and the Sly Stone and whatever. But then you get to about 71 and Kenny Wayne and whatever. And here surfaces this unreleased version of a track that you originally did with the Epics. But here is a more slightly getting into the 70s version of your King Size track. Mm. So what I'm do you really, think that that surfaces?
I'm really interested to hear this because I can't remember. Okay. I sang King Size so many times, I don't know.
this is a landmark local tune in soul music. Possibly the most legendary would be the original of this track, but here is, thanks to Rob from Neptune, an unreleased version of Anvil Chorus, a slightly short-lived side project from the Trials, and we'll get into more of that after.
Mm-hmm.
Some unreleased local history, and that's Jason Hoover with his short-lived band Anvil Chorus. Tell us about them.
Oh, there was so many people coming in and leaving. We can start with Ken Wayne, and we end up with the fellow to the bus I was telling about. He was urinating and we fell out of the bus. Come on, Keith.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, Keith Kemp.
That's right. You can remember. And then also Steve Cartmel, but Steve is not on this. I'm realizing that's not. It was definitely Keith Kemp.
This was after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is Anvil Chorus was not really until Ken Wayne came on the scene.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was your short-lived band, which actually toured, I mean, around British Columbia and other places.
Yeah, Ontario.
There was people that saw the Anvil Chorus show, which included lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is all local history. Some of this history is getting lost, so we should tell the listeners we are indeed making a documentary film about Jason and about these times in Vancouver from the 60s on and his 30-year run, his 30-year reign in the local entertainment business and the trials of Jason Hoover indeed.
Trials is right.
Yeah.
If I remember right, the original King Size was done in December of '68, right?
Yeah, it came out.
Okay,
yeah,
came out in December.
Came out in 69.
No, 68, December. He's right, because it was on the radio when you opened
December. December, but I mean, it actually happened and hit the charts in 69.
The reason I'm saying that, and I'll say it until I'm navy blue in the face, is that this is what Vancouver missed out on. Because in December of 68, when that song was being released, everything was happening everywhere else where soul was to be found. You had the Latin boogaloo stuff going on in New York. You had the first vestiges of the soul singers, the sexy soul singers coming out in Philly and in northern New Jersey. You know, Cincinnati, you had James Brown singing "I'm Black and I'm Proud." You had Detroit still trying to transition from Motown. There was so much stuff going on, and Vancouver could have been a part of that.
Yes.
And that's what enrages me about all this, because it was deliberately pulled like an abscess tooth out of the soul mix.
Indeed. Yeah, well, let's listen to another track now, and that is an alternate unreleased version of one of your final tracks before you went on to your Mushroom album, which was in the mid-70s on a local studio and label, Mushroom Records. But one of the final things you did was this jam for 60 Minute Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
It was released, but it didn't go anywhere locally. I mean, it was just locally released. That was it. Yes, 60 Minute Man. I'm your loving day.
Yes, indeed. Right now, we're talking locally released, unreleased material to just show you that not only did Jason Hoover have the funk, but he's got the unreleased stuff, like Prince in the Vaults.
Really? It was great to hear that. Listen, Dave, I tell you, the band that I had there was not the band that I had on the original release of...
It's different. Yeah, that's almost like the original version or something.
Well, no, this is after it was released, and then we went back into the
That's Anvil Chorus.
Yeah, right? That's Anvil Chorus. Yeah. And we had Kenny Wayne for a while. We had Keith Kemp for a while. Mm-hmm. And we had Flag McGee for a while. And when Flag McGee played on this track with Harmata, he played all the rhythm things. And then we played
it's
like...
It's a different groove.
Yeah, way different
grittier.
Groove. And I like it.
Harmata gets to show off some of his little skills there in that time frame. And, you know, everybody who sat behind him, they were in pocket. So it's a nice listening, driving, sitting, smoking kind of song.
Thank you very much.
If it had come out like that, I think it could have added to his funk arsenal. You know? And that would have been like a grittier earlier than maybe some of the Mushroom or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was a different period.
I tend to think that you guys are right in the past shows that we did, and I've listened to them after, you know. I think I was a little bit ahead of my time. I think
you were. Don't be modest. You were. Because, you know, bands, they'll do studio versions of stuff. And then when they do a live version of
something,
they
can't do it.
They can't do it, or they kick it into a whole total different gear, you know?
I don't like that.
I say that because LaBelle's band was good like that. Mm-hmm. Their records were awful. And I don't mean awful in terms of like they suck, but they were just, you did not capture the spirit of Patti LaBelle and their band live like you did when you heard them live.
On the record.
And there were tracks they did live that were just like off to the moon and stuff like that. And that's that version is better than the original version.
I agree totally.
Well, it just shows you sometimes what an artist has buried. But let's contrast that with another 70s moment. Too Late to Turn Back Now, the Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose. Yeah, now this is like an anthem of anthems, so I think it would be great right now. We're listening to African Rhythms here on CITR 101.9 FM. Thanks to Francesca for helping make this all happen.
Hey, Francesca, we love you.
Too late to turn back now.
An anthem of anthems. Too late to turn back now.
That was an awesome song because when it first came out, it hit everywhere. And you got to remember, markets like New York, they were very strict on what they were allowed in their airplay because they always wanted Atlantic, Epic, and Columbia, everybody in that family. But that song hit everywhere. It was immediately on WABC's playlist, which was saying a lot.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of that one, Jason?
That's great. I mean, I could see it being a hit. I could see it. It was that spelled right into a groove, and it pleased a lot of people. You're rock people. You're funk people. Mm-hmm. You're blues people.
Slight hint of even gospel too.
You know? A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. I mean, it's very feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, the song is about a certain feeling.
Yeah.
So you know, that's sort of what gospel is in a sense. But
well, you know, when you grab everybody like that,
yeah.
You know. So many artists are so hard trying to get their stuff played.
Yeah.
And this was not something on a major label.
No. Yeah.
On a major market like that, that doesn't happen. So it had to hit everybody upside the head for it to get airplay like that.
I think its harmony is very strong.
The harmony is real strong.
Yeah.
And the song before that, Treat Her Like a Lady,
that
made
the
soul stations, but that wasn't a crossover pop tune at all.
That should have been. But then when the Temps put it out, it happened.
Yeah.
Treat Her Like a Lady. But I like that new singer they had too. He was something.
Ali Whitson.
Yes, mm-hmm. There you go. Yes. Mm-hmm. There was my man.
All right, well let's check
Ali Whitson. Whitson.
A nod to New York and Mike's time spent there is let's drop a little bit of singing some soul, Joe Bitant.
Ooh.
And let's the listener can tell us who did the original of this track. 822 CITR.
Under the street. an anthem of anthems, and the original would be The Exits, I believe.
Woo!
Under the Street Lamp.
Yes,
that
indeed.
What they're called, The
yeah.
Exits.
But this album, Singing Some Soul, is a fantastic combination of covers
Phenomenal.
And original. My Cloud was that perfect blue light special. When you got Mommy Under the Lamp, it's all good. And then you had the OJ's cover, I'll Be Sweeter to You Tomorrow.
Mm.
Crystal Blue Persuasion, they did Tommy James and the Shondells, and they did it right. And Cowboys, the Girls, everything, all the yeah. covers
Young
were strong.
Young Gifted and Brown was
That's
very good.
All yeah. strong, but, yeah. But My Cloud, Ordinary Guy, oh, man. This is one of yeah. those things. You ever? It's been a long time since you had an album that you could just put on, leave it alone, and just let the whole thing play.
If you're talking Latin albums. Soul, mm-hmm. this is a definitive anthem of anthems. Singing Some Soul, Joe Baton.
No
this
doubt.
Is the first and last word in Latin soul. This record is so killer. I mean, just look how he just takes you right there in the street and just gives you the flavor of his life. He's unbelievable.
Joe did not hesitate. He sung with heart. It was him, Hector Rivera and the Latin Renaissance, and Jimmy Sabater, lead singer for Joe Cuba, who sang the classics and gave you the full effect of Latin soul. They took it from the boogaloo with Conde Rodriguez and artists like that, Eddie Palmieri, to the slow classic ballads that you called up on the radio and said, please dedicate this song to my baby.
Yeah.
And everybody hit that.
Well, I'd like to dedicate this whole show to I call her Sweetie Babies. That's my stepdaughter.
Yes.
And sweet Carrie, I hope that you're listening. Hi, Mike. How you doing there, baby? We're going to come out and see you again sometime soon, maybe in springtime. I enjoy being there. All right. Go on.
All right. Well, you know, part of my youth or growing up and learning the funk and the George Clinton, the James Brown was getting into Zapp and Roger Troutman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was sad, tragic how it all ended. I saw them live in London at the peak of their career, and Zapp came on, and they were getting yeah. into the funk and whatever, mm-hmm. and I was like, where's Roger Troutman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four women, all dressed in, scantily clad. Roger was on their shoulders, and he came from the back
God.
Of the theater. Mm. He came down the aisle playing guitar on the shoulders of four ladies. Like, yeah. that was his entranceway
pretty good.
Seeing Zapp live. And here is a side project we're going to listen to, Bad Bobby Glover. And this is produced by Roger Troutman. And so let's check this out next here on African Rhythms. I've got my special guest, Mike Ingram, and Jason Hoover, legendary local singer. And we're going to end the show again with another track from Jason and tell you more about the documentary that we're making on him and documenting local soul and funk history. But next, Bad Bobby Glover.
So cold before you came along.
And that's a band called Hiroshima, Never Ever. Getting into that, I hate to say it, but kind of a little bit yacht rock.
Well,
you know, with the top studio musician type action.
They
you know?
Came out late 70s. I remember their album Go. It was a big hit. But formats make a big difference in how artists get promoted. And if you have a station that covers this type of stuff, because we were talking about smooth jazz and all that, how that kind of melded in.
Mm.
But New York had a station called WRVR 106.7. They were jazz. They did everything. They did straight ahead jazz. They did Dixieland. They gave you the full menu. And of course, they threw in fusion and stuff like that. And artists like Hiroshima, Pat Metheny. I remember Pat Metheny
got a
big push because
RVR this track
was
is
there.
A little bit, and getting into that era or still in that era, a little bit disco friendly too, you know, or whatever. But then, of course, by about this time, disco was starting to be, I mean, really, disco outsold rock for 1 year, 77. And then after that, it started to become slightly unhip. But bands like this, but I mean, the yacht rock, the LA kind of top studio musician scene, Toto and things like that, was another kind of sophisticated studio professional. So like Hiroshima, like there's a somewhat connection there.
And artists like Tom Scott would be the kind of just into that stuff. He was, I mean, they went crazy after the love theme from Blade Runner, because when they found out it was him, everybody started trying to find out more about the kind of material he had on there, because that was his sax solo on there.
Well, Off the Wall, Michael Jackson, some of those musicians, they were, that's the Toto band, you know, so it's all the same people. But a Sly Stone track, which came out around that same time that got a little bit overlooked, let's check this out. Indeed, the message, remember who you are, Sly Stone, and you know that's it. You know, remember who you are. Mm-hmm. It's you can see how. You can see how he completely got overlooked. You know, it's really sad that since Sly Stone and all his hits, there he is later, nobody's listening. And yet, that's a good track. It's you know, why is nobody listening to it?
It's still his sound too. I mean, even though Larry Graham may have left by then, mm-hmm. it seems like it was the same bass line. Because Graham Central Station started recording in 76, I believe, mm-hmm. and that was mm-hmm. 1979 when that song came out.
Mm-hmm. The one we're listening to.
I think, who was it, Rusty was his next bass player?
Rusty, yeah.
Yeah, so that might have been him.
Rusty Allen.
Yeah. Yes, Rusty Allen.
Mm-hmm. I know, I find it quite interesting that, you know, I mean, lyrically and whatever, like, it's not really that much different than his big songs.
No.
But yet, I don't know, I think that because of his addiction and difficulties
exposure,
he had. You know,
and he was
he got screwed by the business.
He did get screwed by the business. And, of course, the influences of the narcotics and stuff like that.
That's
he wasn't
people.
Showing up. He wasn't making dates. And mm-hmm. you don't want to really make money on the road. You
That's
got to,
it.
You
That's
got
where
to
your
make
money
those
is.
Dates. Exactly. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, Sly, I mean, thank God he finally did get some compensation, mm-hmm. but after being homeless, yeah. Is it any wonder? I mean, the difficulties of being a musician, Jason, you know?
Yeah, you guess, you know, is it you get your high times, mm-hmm. and you get your low times, and then hopefully you're just striving to get middle times, because you know, there's good times, there's going to be bad times.
Well, we're going out with Main Man, one of the crucial songs from your 75 album, which has even been remade by your relative into a hip-hop song, and we've heard that version, but
cool version.
What a huge song off your album. It should have been a radio hit across Canada, don't you think?
Oh, geez, it would be nice. I'd be rich and have a nice and brand new car right now.
All right, well, go out with it, Mike.
All right, well, from the Kootenays to Kerrisdale.
Thank you.
From Commercial Drive to Comox. If you want to know where the soul trees grow, the roots of all that good stuff can be found right here on African Rhythms.
CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you, Jason.
Oh, man, you guys have a great show.
Yeah. And thank you so much, my brother Mike.
And Mike, he's got it together.
You may think I'm possessive, but I'm really not that way. I don't want to lose your love, but I know that I can. If you don't realize, I'm gonna steal your man. Traveling down the highway from Vancouver to LA. Love I consider true.